following message is presented by First Baptist Church of Morgan City, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Now the message.
If you have your Bibles this morning, I want to invite you to join me in Genesis chapter 50. But we're going to begin in Philippians chapter 4 this morning, reading just a few verses there. And as we're thinking about saying goodbye to the old year, 2025 is gone. A lot of memories there. Today is also a day that we say farewell to John Logan. He is moving on in the direction that the Lord wants him to go in. We are praying for him. It's been my great pleasure to be able to work with him. And he has been a great asset around here to fill in the pulpit, work with our youth, and help plan a few things around here. So we're excited to see where the Lord leads him. And I want to invite you to join us at the conclusion of this service. We will move over to the fellowship hall. We'll have dinner on the ground, a little farewell, going away, sending away for John Logan as well. 2025, what a year it has been. What a year it has been for us as a church. What a year it has been for us as a nation. Just thinking about some of the things that took place in 2025. We began the year with a record snowfall here in South Louisiana. For some people, that's not a lot, but for us, it was a ton of snow. The biggest blessing of all for me in 2025, no hurricanes whatsoever. You say amen to that? We found ourselves with a new president, a new pope. We got ourselves a new coach at LSU. Amen. We just experienced the longest government shutdown in history here in the United States. We saw some sad events. We saw the Charlie Kirk assassination that have sparked a movement in our nation. We saw the best World Series. Some just dubbed it as the best World Series of all. The Dodgers versus the Blue Jays that went all the way to the end. Super Bowl 59, where the Kansas City Chiefs lost to the Philadelphia Eagles, and that is began somewhat of a downfall for them. So the month of December is time to be thinking about some decluttering. What is some decluttering that you need to do? Are there some things that you need to detach from? Are there some things that you need to delete in your life? Are there some things that are devaluing your life right now that you need to get rid of? Let me just say this. Don't bring that garbage into the year 2026. Instead, turn your mind toward things that you really, really, really want to improve on. So if you want to know how to get started off on the right foot in 26, just do a little something like this and you'll get started off on the right foot. Most importantly, what are you going to do intentionally to find your purpose with the Lord in this church and in this community in 2026? Perhaps you've learned something in 2025. That will set the wheels in motion for you to be on the right path going into this new year. So here's the thing. Life is understood better by looking back. Someone said that hindsight is always 20/20. However, you can't continue moving forward by looking into the rearview mirror. So many of you have vehicles like mine. You have a camera on the rear part of your vehicle that when you put it in reverse, it shows you what's behind you. Sometimes it'll give you an alarm if something is there that alerts you to the danger of possibly backing into something. That camera helps me to back up when I'm trying to connect to a trailer or something. It really helps me when I'm trying to back up to a Chevy that I'm trying to tow to the garage and get it repaired, or a Dodge that's stuck in the ditch that I'm trying to pull out. But sometimes when that tailgate is down on my truck and you put it reverse, man, that thing goes nuts. It don't know what's going on. That's because it's looking down instead of looking back. And so that's exactly how our lives should be lived as well. Maybe you come to an experience in this coming year and you say, you know what? I learned something about that in 2025. This is just like going through it all over again. And now I know how to overcome that situation. I now know how to move through that at a little bit better success rate than what I experienced the last time that I went through. Now, we should definitely learn from our past. One of the most famous sayings that you're familiar with is that those who do not remember the past are condemned to repeat it. So that's what you want to do, is you want to avoid the defeats that you experienced in 2025 by improving on that in the upcoming year. The only way to see how far you've come is to look back and see what you have been able to overcome to get to where you are right now. What is it that the Lord has helped you through in 2025 that will benefit you in this upcoming year? What did the Lord reveal to you in 2025 that will make you a better Christian for the future? More than likely, you can now understand and appreciate some of the things you've been through in your life. But what are some of the things that you will dwell on going into this new year? The Apostle Paul, in his conclusion to the letter of the church at Philippi, he gives them some things that he wants them to dwell on. He gives them the secret to prayer. He says, don't be anxious for anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then he says, here's some things that you need to think about moving forward. Let's all stand for the reading of God's word. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. And maybe these are some things that you need to turn your mind towards as you enter into 2026. That last song that we sang together, turn your eyes upon Jesus. That is the best thing you can do going into this upcoming year. But here's the mindset that Paul gives to the church at Philippi as he concludes his letter to them. He says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. What is it that you are meditating on right now? Are you still thinking about that broken relationship that took place in 2025? Or are you thinking about what am I going to do to make that relationship better in 2026? Are you still thinking about that bad investment that you made in 2025 and you're saying, I'm not ever going to do that again? That's what Paul is saying here. Find something good to meditate on. Find something positive to meditate on. Find something that you want to change in your life. Find a way to draw closer to the Lord and meditate on those things. He says, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you so much for this awesome story of Joseph and his family that we've been through over these past few months, Lord God. So much we've learned from that, so much to gain from that, so much experience that we can implement into our lives. And I just pray, Lord God, as we look at the final lesson that Joseph has for himself and for his family and for us, Lord God, that we will dwell on that in every way, shape, and form. And we just ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 50 of the book of Genesis. Here we are in our Joseph narrative. Here we are concluding our long journey. Many different weeks we spent on this. Part 21, we are now in, concluding with that. Where are we at? Jacob has passed away. We talked about that last week. We talked about the impact that Jacob left in Egypt in the short time that he was there. The Egyptians mourned for Jacob's passing for 70 days. And as requested by Jacob, his family has taken him all the way back to Canaan. He's taken his corpse, his body that has been embalmed by the Egyptians, all the way back to Canaan to bury it in a cave that Jacob himself dug for that purpose. So those who went to the burial site are now returning to Egypt. They had a funeral procession going to Canaan. They had their funeral service there, and now they are on their way back. And I have been through this picture, this scene, many times in my mind. And I thought to myself, what would I have done had I been in that group on the way back to Egypt? And what was being said? Now, here's a picture that I have. Maybe Joseph is in his chariot or maybe on his camel, maybe something that's transporting him. He is basically the prince of Egypt. He is in command. He's in control. He knows that God has put him there for a reason, and he knows exactly what his brothers did that sparked the wheels in motion to get Joseph where he was at. Now, on the other hand, I see Joseph's brothers back behind him, and I'm thinking about what's going on in their mind. Joseph has already forgiven them, but what are they thinking? They're saying, look, dude, we're in for it. We're toast. When we get back, he's going to give it to us. We're going to get what we've got coming. They did not receive Joseph's forgiveness the way that they should. And had I been Joseph, I would have played that out to the very end. I would have said, oh yeah, you just wait till we get home. I've been waiting for over 40 years for this moment, and you're going to get everything that you've got coming to you. But that was not what Joseph dwelt on the entire time that he was in Egypt. All of that stuff, from what I read in the passage, from what I read in other passages, this just rolled off of Joseph's back like water off a duck's back. Because our key verse that we've been focused on all throughout this this narrative, Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for the good of them who love God. I think Joseph was living that out long before the Apostle Paul ever wrote that verse. Joseph knew that he was exactly where God needed him to be. And we're going to see that indication here in his closing words as he indicates to his brothers, look, all is well, we're good. I understand now. My hindsight is 20/20, and I hope you can see what God has been doing all of these years. But here's the issues that some people have in dealing with the past. Point number one, some people dwell in the past in ways that will ultimately impact their future destiny. What if Joseph hadn't had a conversation with his brothers and said, all is well, I forgive you? They would have been living with a guilty conscience for the rest of their life. They would have been always looking over their shoulders, and their lives would not have been lived with the joy that they needed to have. And some of you right now, you're dwelling in the past in ways that will impact your future. Some people just have a hard time letting go of the past. Some of you right now, you're more worried about, where did our podium go? Where did our communion table go? Where did our prayer bench go? Those things are supposed to be there. Those are things from our past, and you're worried more about that than you are worshiping the Lord this morning and hearing what God has to say to you. Now, that's just one small illustration. There are many things that we hold on to in our past. Some of you have homes that are full of things. When my mom passed away, there were some things that I just could not let go because they had so many memories involved in. But there were some things that I knew I can't keep those things forever and ever. Folks, here's the thing about becoming a Christian. Some people cling to the sins of their past. Some people remember their mistakes that they made before they became a Christian. And they remember them a lot longer than the Lord remembers them. Let's look at what Joseph's brothers have to say in verse 15 of chapter 50. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us for all the evil which we did to him. Now, how would you like to go through the rest of your life with that in the back of your mind? That's no way to live life, is it? Living your life with a guilty conscience is no way to experience the joy that the Lord has for you. So they sent messengers to Joseph. They didn't even want to talk to him face to face. They said, we don't want to hear it with our own ears. We don't want to be there when he gets mad and wants to repay us. So instead, we're going to send messengers. And they're going to say, before your father died, he commanded, saying, thus you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespass of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. Now, please forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of your fathers. And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Why did Joseph weep? Because they had not accepted the forgiveness that he had to offer them. And that's the same way some of you are living your life. You're living your life with a guilty conscience because of sins in the past. And that is inhibiting you from looking forward to what God has in store for you in the future. Let me give you just a few verses that back that up. Here's the forgiveness and the depth of God's forgiveness. In case you don't know, write down this verse. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from, here's our word that we love, that little three-letter word, all righteousness. Let me ask you this. If God forgives us of all of our sin and unrighteousness, how much is left? Thank you. I'm from DeQuincy. Even I can figure that one out. That's what God does. The blood of Jesus Christ, it doesn't just cleanse us of one or two sins. It cleanses us of all of our sins. But the catch to that is, if we confess our sins, they didn't have to confess their sins. Joseph knew, and he said, I forgive you. Let's let bygones be bygones. Let's bury the hatchet. We're not even going to leave the handle sticking out. We're going to put all of this behind us, and we're going to move on with what the Lord has in store for us. Right here in Egypt, even though our father has passed away, that doesn't change anything. Write down this verse, Psalm 103, verse 12. Here's how far the depth of God's forgiveness goes. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. Folks, that's as far as you can see. That's how far God has removed our sins from us. The Bible goes as far as to say he puts it in a place where even he doesn't remember it. Now, if you're living with regret, if you're living with guilt of sin, guess what? That's Satan reminding you of that, because he is known as the accuser of the brethren. And that's exactly what he wants to do, is he wants to bring up your past. He wants to say there's no way God can forgive you of that. But according to God's word, that's not the case. Write down this verse, Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12. Listen real close to this one. If you're not paying attention, sit up straight, keep your hands to yourself. Listen to what I'm fixing to say here. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and lawless deeds. I will remember no more. That's how far the depth of God's forgiveness goes. And that's how far the depth of Joseph's forgiveness has gone to his brothers as well. Joseph's brothers are living with the idea that Joseph won't forgive when Joseph has forgiven them already. And some of you here today are saying that you are a follower of Jesus, that you've made a profession of faith, that you've been saved from your sins, but yet you are still living with regrets of the past. Put all that stuff behind you. Turn your eyes on Jesus and say, God, what do you have for me next? Thank you for forgiving me of my sins and help me to move on with my life. Most importantly, help me to move on with the plan that you have in store for my life. Most people are letting the sins of their past hinder their joy of the present and dictate the direction of their future. I wrote that myself. That's pretty good stuff right there, ain't it? Most people, they're doing that. They're letting the sins of their past hinder their joy of the present and dictate the direction of their future. I live with that regret for a long time. I live with the fact of saying that, you know, there's no way God could use somebody like me because of what I've done in the past. But God changed all that. And here's what happened to Joseph. It breaks Joseph's heart when he hears that they haven't fully understood the depth of his forgiveness. When they sent the messengers back, and when he heard that they still think he's going to do something bad to him, Joseph wept when those messengers spoke to him. Verse 18, then his brothers also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we are your servants. That's not what Joseph wanted. He just wanted his family back. He wanted the relationship that brothers should have with brothers. And Joseph's brothers thought that they had to do something to earn the forgiveness that Joseph had already offered to them. And here's the thing about most Christians. Most Christians think that they have to do something to earn favor with God. That's legalism. That is a works-based salvation. And that is not how you are saved. By faith, you're saved through grace, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not a works, lest any man should boast. That's what Ephesians chapter 2 tells us. Point number two, many people in the world today believe that their actions are enough to repay the debt that they owe. The wages of sin is death, and the cost has already been paid by Jesus' death on Calvary 2,000 years ago. And there's nothing, absolutely nothing that you could do to earn it. You don't deserve it. That's what grace is all about. Can I just say this? Having your sins forgiven doesn't require you to do anything. The work's already been done. The most beautiful thing about the gospel is that the work has already been done. Living a life thinking you have to do something to earn your salvation is a works-based salvation. The Apostle Paul writes in Galatians 2:21, he says this, he says, if righteousness comes by the works of the law, then Christ died in vain. But on the cross, Jesus' final word, tetelestai in the Greek language, it is finished. It is complete. Signed, sealed, and delivered. You don't have to do anything else. Your forgiveness is freely offered because I shed my blood. I was that one-time sacrifice for all of man's sin kind. I did the work that you couldn't do. The gospel does not require us to do good works, but the gospel should cause us to want to do good things. I think that's what broke Joseph's heart more than anything else, is they thought they had to do something for something that had already been freely given to them. And that's the way most people are about Christianity. They want to know, what do I need to do? Let me tell you something. There's going to be a lot of good people in hell. There's going to be a lot of moral people in hell. There are going to be a lot of people who have done good deeds that are in hell because they haven't accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Good people go to hell. Saved people go to heaven. That's the difference. And many people live their life believing that their actions are enough to repay the debt that they owe because of their sins. Next thing that we see is this. Few people will fully experience the depth of God's forgiveness on a personal level. We see people living out their life for the Lord. We see the joy that they experience, but some people will never, ever experience the depth of God's love. Watch what Joseph says here. Here is the climax of the whole Joseph narrative right here. This is where Joseph lives out Romans 8:28. This is where he clearly points out to his brothers exactly what happened. He said, yeah, you've been mean to me. You've been bad to me. You've done exactly what old brothers usually do. But guess what? God had a plan that he was working out. Even through your evil deeds, even through your plotting, your scheming, you lied to our father about what happened to me. Even through all of that, God was working out a plan to put me in a position to do something for you and for many other people. Verse 19, Joseph said to them, do not be afraid. Fear always cancels out faith. And if you live your life in condemnation, you're living in fear that one of these days God's going to strike you down for what you've done. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Joseph says it clear right here. Don't be afraid. You don't have to fall down on your face before me. You don't have to offer me something. You don't have to do something to earn the forgiveness that I've already given to you. Don't be afraid. For am I in the place of God? But as for you, here it is right here. You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. Now with that phrase right there, I want you to look back at 2025, at all of the negative things that have happened in your life. What have you learned from it? Maybe somebody wronged you. Maybe somebody pulled out in front of you and called you to say a word that you shouldn't have said. Maybe they were slowing you down and keeping you from getting in a wreck further down the road. Maybe God was doing that intentionally to keep you from some harm that was coming that you didn't know about and that you never will know about. All of the negative things that have happened in 2025, God was working out in your life to get you to a point today to say, I'm ready for whatever you bring in my life in 2026, because I know that all things work together for the good of them who love God. Do not be afraid, he said. What you meant for evil against me, God meant it for good in order to bring it about as it is this day. And here it is right here. Here's the gospel in a nutshell. Here's Joseph's life in a nutshell. Here's why Joseph had to go through everything that he did to save many people alive. Folks, let me just say this. Jesus took a beating that none of us would have survived with a cat of nine tails from a Roman soldier. He took a crown of thorns upon his head. They spit in his face. They plucked his beard. And then they nailed him to an old rugged cross where all of the blood of his body drained out. That's bad for most people, but for us it's good because with that, Jesus said, your salvation is now signed, sealed, and delivered. Because what those men did to me on that day was evil, but God meant it for good so that many lives will be saved through my death. Now, therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. And watch this. And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. When you finally realize that forgiveness is available to you through the blood of Jesus Christ, when you realize that you don't have to live in fear because of past mistakes and sins, God will comfort you in a way that you've never experienced before. You will experience a joy and a peace that surpasses all understanding in a way that you never have before. Here's the thing. Fear of the past keeps us from the joy of the future. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. I want us to read this together so you can see this. 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, because perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Why did Joseph go through everything that he went through willingly? How was Joseph able to endure everything that he endured willingly? Because he loved his dad, he loved his brothers, and he loved the Lord, and he knew that God was working out a plan. He didn't understand it at the time, but he knew something's going on, that God is putting me in a position to save the lives of many people. Here's something I want you to think about it as you leave today, as you think about 2026 and this upcoming year. Why does God love us the way that he does? So we can love others. Look at the understanding that Joseph now has. He has fully experienced the love, the guidance, the protection, the provision, and ability that could only come from the Lord. He has practically lived out Romans 8:28 before it was ever written. He said, what you meant was evil. It was a dirty deed. It was something you should have never done. I don't know what was going on through your mind. I don't know what I did for you to inflict that much pain and hatred upon me. But what you did, you meant for evil. It was a twisted plan. It was a scheme. It was a plot. But God did it for a specific reason. Because of what you did, God put me on a different path. And my obedience on that path has now put me in a position where all the lives of you and your children, look at what he says. He says, now therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones as well. You think about Jesus in the death that he died. The soldiers that carried out the crucifixion. The Pharisees that set up his arrest. Judas Iscariot, one of the first 12 apostles, betrayed him for money, 30 pieces of silver. All of those things were intended for evil. But even in all of those evil deeds, God was working out his plan all along. And all through your life in 2025, some of the things that have happened in your life, God was working out a plan to put you in a position where you are right now, to move on with the purpose that He has for your life. Do you know why God saved us? So that many others will also be saved. Do you know why God has brought you through everything that you've been through? So you can tell someone the story of your life. One of the things that I like to start a conversation with when I meet someone I've never met before is, hey, would you like to hear some good news? Most people around would say, yeah, I'd love to hear some good news. And then they start telling you about things that have happened in your life. Listen to what's going on in their life and how you can pray for them. But when they get through, just take a moment and say, all right, well, let me tell you what's going on in my life. Let me tell you what I've been through. Let me tell you about what I've been forgiven of. And let me tell you about how you can be forgiven as well. Joseph tells God's overall plan in four simple words: to save many people. You want to summarize the gospel in its simplest form? That's it right there. To save many people. John 3:16, God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. Whosoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son in this world to condemn this world, but that this world through Him might be saved. He who believes on the Son of God has life. He who does not believe on the Son of God does not have life, because he has not believed on the only begotten Son of God. 2 Peter 3:9. God is not slack concerning His promise, but He's long-suffering towards us. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Here's what I want you to do in 2026. Don't let the past dictate your future. Never forget the debt that has been paid for your sins, and fully experience the depth of God's love in ways that you never have before. Let 2026 be the year that you say, I know that all things are working together for my good. I don't understand it right now, but I know one of these days I will. Because that is the only way you can fulfill God's purpose for your life. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Many of these songs that we sang earlier today, some have verses that clutch our heart, but most of the times the whole song is what tells the story. Gloria Gaither said this, and I quote, "We need the whole song, all the verses and the choruses to serve us as our own story unfolds, because trust me, life is hard, but God is good." Right now, you haven't heard the whole song of your life yet. Maybe you're just going through one verse right now. Maybe you're just going through the chorus. One of these days, you're going to put that whole song together, and it's going to be the most beautiful song that you've ever heard. Some of you, though, your song needs to start today. Maybe the first verse hasn't been written. Maybe you've been waiting for an opportunity like this to turn your life over to the Lord. What a great way to start 2026 by saying, on the last day of 2025, I let Jesus give me a new life. I turn my old life over to Him. My old me has been buried. My new me has been resurrected. I'm walking in newness of life like I've never experienced before. And I have the assurance of knowing that all of my sins have been forgiven. Just a quick reminder, that word all means all, and that's all that it means. And right now, you can have all of your sins forgiven. If you've never accepted the free gift of salvation that comes through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, I would encourage you to do that today. If I can make that decision for you, I would. But it has to be a personal decision. And there is no middle ground. John writes this. He said, "He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. Which side are you on right now? Are you saved or not? Do you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior or do you not? Are you a follower of Jesus Christ or are you a follower of the world? Right now, I would encourage every Christian to pray for those around you right now. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, begin praying for those around you. That the Lord would give them liberty to make a public profession of faith today. Now, for those of you who have never made a public profession of faith, I'm speaking directly to you. What are you waiting on? Why would you put it off any longer when you could leave this place today with the assurance of knowing that God is your Father, Jesus is your Savior, and heaven will be your eternal home? And you can experience the joy and freedom that comes through that. The first thing that you need to know is you have a sin problem. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and that there are none righteous, no, not one. And that sin comes with a penalty. Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death. That's what you earned through your sin. But here's the good news. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Many of you received Christmas gifts this past week. You didn't have to pay for them. You didn't have to work for them. You didn't have to earn them. Somebody just gave them to you out of the kindness and generosity of their heart because they love you. And that's exactly what salvation is. God doesn't expect anything in return. He says, I'm offering you forgiveness of your sins. And I'm offering you an eternity in heaven. All you have to do is accept my free will offering. You say, Brother Tracy, that all sounds good. What do I need to do? You just need to talk to the Lord. You need to make a commitment to Him. It's not just a one-time prayer. It is an entire change of the heart. The word repentance means metanoia. It is metanoia in the Greek language. It's where we get our word metamorphosis from. It is the caterpillar going into the cocoon and emerging something completely different and beautiful, a butterfly. You need to repent of your sins and make a commitment to live your life for the Lord. And I would love to help you do that today. John Logan is here with me. I'm here. Lady, if you would rather have a lady praying with you, we could have one of our Sunday school teachers or one of our other ladies come pray with you and for you. But in just a moment, when we begin our hymn of invitation, the invitation time is time for you to respond to what the Lord has spoken to your heart. But if you need to turn your life over to the Lord, if you want to say, God, I'm tired of living the life the way that I've lived it. I don't like my life the way it is right now, and I want you to give me a new life. I want to have a new way. I want to be a follower of Jesus. You need to be the first one out of your seat down this aisle and come talk to one of us. We would love to pray with you about that and give you some more information about how to become a Christian. But if you're here today and you've got some unforgiveness, you've got some baggage, you've got something from this past year that you want to get rid of, a commitment that you want to make in the upcoming year, this front row of pews, this will be our altars. This will be a place where you can come and pray and do business with the Lord. I'm going to say a prayer, and if you need to make any of those decisions, as soon as the music begins, that's your cue to make your way forward and come pray with us or get along with the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. Lord, what a year it has been as I look back over some of the lives who have been changed here already, Lord God, some of the commitments that have been made. As I look back at what you've done in my life, Lord God, the ways that you blessed me, the things that you revealed to me, Lord, I'm anxiously awaiting what's coming in 2026. I know it's going to be good. I know that there'll be some trials and some challenges. But I'm going to stand on the promise that all things work together for the good of them who love God. And Lord, I love you with all my heart. And I know that there are many here as well. But Lord, if there's one person here that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, they've never experienced that love and that forgiveness, I pray that your Holy Spirit would move them to make that commitment today. As we turn our attention to you, Lord God, I pray that you'll help us to do business in the areas where we need to do business with each other and with you. And we just ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
preceding message was presented by First Baptist Church in Morgan City, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about First Baptist Church, including contact info, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.